A recent survey of high school kids shows the pandemic has kids more stressed and less engaged in school.
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll discuss how parents can help their kids cope with the pressures of virtual learning and social distancing. Join us. A 2020 Gallup poll shows that nearly 3 in 10 parents say their child is already experiencing harm to their emotional or mental health because of social distancing and closures. Another 14% indicate their children are approaching their limits, saying they could continue social distancing a few more weeks until their mental health suffers.
Our guest today is on the front lines of this crisis and says that parochial schools are not immune to this either. Approximately 10% of Adventist school students are showing depression and anxiety symptoms as a COVID symptom. These students are the ones that were likely already experiencing mental health strain, but have had it exacerbated by pandemic impact. Today, we are joined by Mindy Salyers. Mindy has been an elementary educator and school counselor for 17 years in both Adventist and public school systems with a focus on social-emotional learning. Mindy provides individual small group and whole school guidance for preschool through high school-aged students. She currently lives in Chicago, Illinois, with her husband and 2 young daughters, where she works for the Illinois Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in the education department. Welcome, Mindy.
Thanks so much for having me, Willie and Elaine. I'm excited to be here.
We're delighted to have you. So, Mindy, what are the warning signs parents should look for that may indicate a decline in their child's mental health?
Absolutely. So when we're thinking about kids who are at home and they have limited social interaction with their friends, with teachers, with that school climate that usually connects them, we want to, as parents, be looking for kind of those red signals, if you will, that show their child is experiencing anxiety and depression. And so when I'm looking for that in students, I'm looking for them withdrawing from social interaction, even if it's virtual, right? They're not doing any kind of FaceTiming with friends or cousins. And in addition to that, they're not communicating with you as much. They're more withdrawn. They might be in their room more. Secondly, we want to look for changes in their regular patterns. Are they sleeping more or sleeping less? Are they eating more than normal or eating less than normal? Some of those changes in behavior can help signal to us as parents, hey, we want to be on the lookout and see if we can strengthen my child's support system because they could be experiencing anxiety and depression.
Now, would you suggest that if a parent thinks that it might, that, you know, their child might be leaning towards being depressed or having anxiety, but their child is normally an introverted child or is normally not that sociable, would you still recommend that parents kind of intervene a little bit to make sure that there isn't something there?
Such a good question, Elaine. So absolutely, you know, whether or not your child is naturally shy or more extroverted, that's why you're looking for those changes in behavior patterns, because it may not necessarily relate to their social interaction, right? So to me, the very first step is if you see a change in your child's behavior, resource your pediatrician, even if your child is an adolescent, maybe especially if your child is an adolescent, because that's when we're looking for those suicidal ideation things. And so then they can do a simple anxiety or depression indicator that will then help them know should they refer you to a therapist or a psychologist. They will have those resources for you as parents.
Excellent. What I'm hearing you say, Mindy, is that parents need to be awake and paying attention to what's happening with their children and engage them so that they can take a temperature test, if you will, and kind of get a feel for what's happening with them. So how can parents respond appropriately, especially when they are under similar pressures themselves?
Wow, I love this question because we're, as parents, likely experiencing social withdrawing. We could personally be experiencing anxiety and depression as well, right? This COVID pandemic has impacted all of us. So for me as a parent, I'm very open with my kids. Hey, mommy is feeling especially emotional right now. I'm kind of feeling lonely. And then talking with them about the strategies I'm using as a parent. So I'm very intentional to go and seek counseling support myself to keep myself regulated and make sure that I have that mental wellness in place almost preventatively, right? And so in that way, you're sort of creating this climate in your household that, hey, if I need extra support, that this is really an okay thing. There isn't that phobia, if you will.
Yeah. I like the fact that you are putting parents in a place to be models. You're modeling that behavior that is less anxious about getting help, and that getting help is okay. And that we all need some support sometime, and it's okay to do so.
Yeah, and also the whole notion, I think I also hear you saying, it's also emotion coaching, if you will, that you're teaching your children how to respond appropriately to their emotions and validating their emotions. So I think that sounds like a great way for parents to begin. But what if, I shouldn't even say but, because it's not a but how do, how can parents then support their child during hybrid or the fully virtual learning when they're having these meltdowns and they're just frustrated about what's happening?
Yes. Oh, so I can totally relate to those parents because I myself am in that same position. I have a first grader and a third grader that are schooling right alongside me as I'm doing my professional piece virtually. So I guess my biggest advice that I have for parents is really threefold. First, it's easy when your child is doing virtual learning to kind of let them do their own thing, right? They're in their room, they're on their computer, whatever, but it's super important to come alongside them.
Absolutely.
And be that adult presence.
Absolutely.
So there's two more pieces and I can cover those in a later opportunity.
Yes, we're going to get to that in the next section.
After a short break, we'll talk more with Mindy about kids under pressure and how to help them cope. Stay with us.
Sometimes it's difficult for parents to respond well to the stressors their children are growing through because they haven't managed their own stress. So it's important for us parents to learn how to be proactive in our responses by pausing for a few moments before responding reactively to our children. Remember what we always say, use the PPC, pause, pray, and choose a response that will build rather than tear down. So, Mindy, before the break, we were talking about how parents can support their children in a hybrid situation or virtually, and you were talking about the accountability piece. So I want us to just pick up there. about not just leaving your kids at the computer.
Absolutely. So again, when the child is at home, they still need that adult presence to come alongside them, whether it's helping them organize their supplies, whether it's doing a regular 30-minute check-in, whatever it is, having that parent-child partnership, it also brings that school-home connectedness. So the child isn't independently learning all on their own, no matter what grade, if they're in elementary or all the way through high school.
Wow, that's because I was going to ask, what if they're a teenager and they're saying, well, I don't need you, Mom. I probably know the computer better than you do.
They need the adult presence. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, honestly, yes. Yeah, whether they're computer savvy or not, it's not about that skill set. It's about the accountability skill set, like you said, Elaine. So, I think teens tend to sort of push parents away, like, I've got this covered. But as I'm working with students, I'm seeing that especially those middle schoolers and high schoolers are the ones that need more parental support than even the younger grades.
Yes. So, Mindy, what can parents do to foster social interaction in a socially distanced way?
Yes. So, I think this takes creativity because we know developmentally children need social interaction. But if you're like my home, we're staying very close in our own safety bubble. So we've had to be very creative in the ways that we connect our kids while still keeping them safe. So one way we've done this is instituted Friend Friday, which looks like giving our kids the opportunity to choose who they want to connect with virtually. So whether that's FaceTime or Messenger Kids, they get to choose the friends that they want to spend time with on Friend Friday. We've also had to think really outside of the box in terms of how we allow interaction with their classmates. So we've been fortunate enough to participate in the school's recesses on a daily basis so that they can get that connection with their classmates while still being outside and socially distanced. And then finally, I think it's important to enroll your child in some kind of socialization opportunity, even if it's virtual, through church-related events or maybe a Boys and Girls Club type, Pathfinder or Adventure type club. And so that they can have those opportunities that are non-academic and yet they can still be connecting with their children their own age.
So you
bottom line.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is just make sure that they still have friend connections, because when everyone is vaccinated, we want them to be able to still have those social skills in place where they have friendship connections.
Yeah. Wow. That's really creative. So you recommend that even if the activity is non-academic, that the online is still helpful socially. That's what I think I hear you saying. But what I hear a lot of parents saying, though, is that, oh my goodness, my kids are online all day long. And, how is this going to help them? Talk a little bit about that, because I really appreciated what you were saying about that friend connection virtually.
Yeah. I wrestle with that screen burnout issue as well. We, prior to COVID, had very conservative screen time standards and timeframes in our household. And that goes out the window when your children are doing virtual learning. So for me, I have to differentiate between what are they doing on screen. They're learning academically. My kids are on screen for about 7 hours a day, but that's a different type of interaction. And so affording your kids some kind of social interaction too. Right now, screens are the modality that we're able to do that. If you have another family that's in your social bubble that is safe, absolutely do that in person. Or if you have neighborhood kids that are mask wearers and that can come over and hang out in the backyard, absolutely do that in person. But I think screens are an option right now that we just have to consider in terms of social interaction for our kids.
So what I'm hearing you say, Mindy, is that whatever we're doing, we need to be safe. Don't throw caution to the wind. Don't just act like if the pandemic isn't here, because it's very much here with us. And we need to be responsible to keep our children safe and our neighbors safe as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us real quickly, we have about a minute left in this section, but you had mentioned something about parents not trying to be too perfect. And I think it's important for our parents to hear that.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. So with online learning, I have to remind myself, even though I'm going to be present, even though I'm going to touch base regularly with the teachers and make sure the communication between school and home is right there, I want to make sure that I'm reminding myself that this is not a perfect school year. My kids are going to accidentally go offline. They're going to miss assignments. And so being kind of grace-filled both to my kids and myself as a parent, and just saying we're doing the best we can, and if I make this school year a happy one for my kids, I'm a successful parent.
That's awesome. Be kind to yourself, right? Yes. Be kind to yourself and to your children.
I just remind everyone that that is not a perfect situation. You're trying to make the best of a bad situation.
So absolutely.
You know, let yourself off the hook just a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
After a short break, Mindy will share more helpful tips for parents and kids under pressure. Stay with us.
Today we're discussing kids under pressure. Mindy, what can parents do to build resiliency within their child?
Thank you. So I love how Jim and Lynn Jackson, they're co-founders of Connected Families, and they differentiate the difference between resiliency and grit. And they say, you know, resiliency is the ability to bounce back from a situation, from a tough situation, and grit is the ability to push through. And here in this COVID era, we're seeing that the kids who are using grit instead of resiliency, they're using all of their ability to push through, are actually burning out. So it really is important to foster resiliency in our kids. The American Psychological Association describes it kind of as a three-legged stool that parents can create resiliency within their kids. So the first leg, if you will, is safety, caring, and loving relationships, right? And that's what we want to be. We want to be as parents, this environment where our kids feel safe, they feel cared for, and they feel genuinely loved. That second leg in the resiliency stool is having high expectations for our kids, right? We want them to meet their potential, their God-gifted potential. And then finally, that last leg in the resiliency stool is providing them meaningful opportunities to participate. The thing is, though, as we're building resiliency in a COVID era, having meaningful relationships, meaningful opportunities to participate, and having high expectations will look a lot different, right?
Depending on the family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and we're going to have to adapt that, right? So my expectations for my kids in terms of performance, let's say in school, is going to be not that you have an awesome report card, but that you are trying your best, right? Because you're learning Google Classroom, or you're learning some of these other seesaw online learning venues, that in and of itself is a learning curve they haven't had before. So my expectations, my high expectations for my kids are going to look different. In the same way, you know, having those meaningful opportunities to participate are going to look different. It's not going to be that they are out volunteering or serving the community necessarily, but maybe it's that they're pre-recording the opening prayer for church service. So we're modifying our resiliency legs while still gifting them that resiliency skill set.
Sounds awesome. That is so awesome. And I really appreciate what you said about changing, shifting what our expectations are. So you're not, it's not like you're not requiring accountability and for them to participate, but you're changing how it looks and building a different way of doing resilience. And I think that's really important for families, because I feel like that's why so many families are burning out. We don't have young kids at home anymore, so I want to be very cautious how I say this, but you do. And so I appreciate you saying it from your perspective. But I feel like so many parents are still trying to do what they were doing pre-COVID, except now we have the layer of COVID and the online learning and working outside, working and teaching. You know, every time I call like my insurance company or the doctor's office or whatever, everyone's working from home. You hear the babies crying, you hear children running around. And so this is a pressurizing situation for everyone, and we just have to change the way we view our circumstances.
Absolutely. And, you know, in addition to changing our expectation or modifying our expectations for our kids, is modifying our expectations as parents, right? So never before have I spent, unless when they were toddlers, I haven't spent 8 hours a day working alongside educating them while simultaneously doing my job. So that is a whole nother element. And so when I get home, I recognize they need a break from me. They need to be able to go play toys. And mama might need, I'll say, in order to be a good mommy today, I need to just go take a rest in my room. And I'll take 45 minutes. That's an expectation that I've modified now in COVID era that I didn't do before.
Thank you, Mindy, for all that you've shared. In the last 50 or so seconds, what would you share with parents as a takeaway of all that you've been sharing today?
Absolutely. Thanks. So I think in this COVID era, we have to be grace-filled to our children, grace-filled to their teachers or their caregivers, and grace-filled to ourselves as parents. You know, the most important thing as we're all coping and dealing with this COVID pandemic is that we are creating a wholesome, tender, loving environment where Jesus is the center. And so, you know, that's going to look differently this year. But our kids are going to respond, and they're going to watch how we are responding to this. And if we're modeling and emulating Jesus Christ, then I think that's the biggest takeaway that there is.
Thank you so much, Mindy, for sharing your professional and personal insights with us today.
As we get ready to end our program, we leave you with this reassuring message from God's Word that says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.